afternoon, we're looking at Psalm 121, and there are four stanzas here. There are four verses or four parts to each one. And the first stanza is in the first person, again, denoting a relationship. I love it when I go to the Psalms and it says I and my and my mine and those things. It just reminds me that's the way we talk to God as well. He's my God. You know, I can trust in Him. It's a personal relationship. And so this morning I want to share a message that's entitled, My Help Cometh from the Lord. Let's go ahead and read Psalm 121. You follow along as I read the passage this morning. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper, the Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for the opportunity to be here today. We thank you for the snow. We know there's a purpose behind that. And Father, we just thank you for that. It is beautiful as we look at this first big one. Father, we just pray that you would help us as we look to you now, as we come together searching and seeking the things of God, that we might have understanding. And Father, again, that we leave this place and we can rejoice in the fact that we have a relationship, in a personal relationship, and that you, Lord, are my help. Father, I pray that you would guide and direct in the next few moments. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So here we see in the first two verses, you see this idea that it's a personal relationship, and he's talking about, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Well, the previous psalm, these are songs of degrees. The previous song we see, our song here we see, is that this fellow, this psalmist, he's in distress. He's going through a difficult time in his life. There are things going on that he's not in a good place. He says in verse 1, in my distress I cried unto the Lord and he heard me. That's what happens when we get in distress as Christians. We reach out to God and we seek his face and we want him to hear us. Verse 2, he says, deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. He's in a place where he's not in with his people. He's there with people that are apparently liars. They're the enemy. And yet he cries out to God and God hears him. And then we see Psalm 121 where the psalmist says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. You know, troubles come our way, and they do all the time. We always have something going on in our lives. Today I had exciting times, the first snow, and thankful that Greg came over. I really like to do my driveway, and I like to do it big, you know, all this stuff. Today, after 2 hours, I was whooped. I'm still whooped, brother. He came over and said, you want me to do this? I said, I like to do this, And we sat there for a little bit and talked. And I said, tell you what, do whatever you can do, and I'll take care of the rest. So he did a great help to me. But during the little operation today, first time getting the snowblower out, I hit a rock, and one of the tines, it broke the shear bolt. And then I fixed that one, and I had the hammer in my pocket. I apparently dropped it while I was snowblowing, and I came back around and got it cut, stuck in the other side and broke the shear bolt. So I had to go to Father's and get another one. So it was kind of that day. But troubles come our way, don't they? I mean, sometimes we don't expect them. We don't seek them. But we have to find out who to go to when those troubles come. And not all our troubles are physical situations or financial, but there's spiritual help too. And all of this we can go to God with. And so we want to know who we're to seek. We want to know how to do that, when to do that. We want to make sure we're asking the right people or the right person in our Lord Jesus Christ. It's amazing to me that God uses people in our lives. You know, that's who's on this earth, isn't it? And we as Christians are to be used of God as a tool that we can help others. And again, what a blessing. We had a couple guys come over, three guys, I guess, and cut down the tree that fell this morning. Again, what a blessing that God has used these men to help. And I guess boys as well. So there's probably quite a few that were here. But God does that for us. And we all face different situations. They're difficult at times. Many of us in this room have faced illness. We face situations that could have been life-threatening at this point. And, you know, it's God that we need to trust. Yes, they use doctors, and we use these different people. God uses them as tools. And I'm so grateful that we can go and cry out to God, and He can put those right people in the place we need that would help us and encourage us. I know that as I continue to grow older, and especially today was a different challenge. Last year when we did the snow blowing, I'd go out for 4 hours and snow blow everything I could get my hands on. And today, 2 hours is like, I'm not going to be able to make it this year. It's another year. You don't know how quickly those things catch up to you. But as you age, things change in your life. You can't hear as well. You can't see as well. Sometimes you can't think as well. I don't know about you, but sometimes there are things I can't recall. We're talking about things, me and my wife and others, and it's like, oh, I can't remember, you know, what I was talking about or what this is or anything. We change. Our lives change. And it's different seasons of different times in our lives. And throughout our lives, we learn to trust the Lord. We learn to call out to Him. We learn to seek His face. Because I want to know that He's there for me, that He's there to help me and to encourage me. I think of other Christians had difficulties in their lives. Remember Moses. Moses was a man of God. When he was there 40 years being trained in Egypt, and of course then after he killed an Egyptian, he ended up going 40 years in the back desert, learning how to, I guess, suffer. And then, of course, God called him. And for 40 years, he walked with God. 40 years, he led the children of Israel. And as he did, many times, they accused him and they cursed him. They kept saying, we want to go back to Egypt. It was better there. Never looking ahead, never willing to trust God, and yet still wanting to do that which was not right. God had a plan, but yet they wanted the path of least resistance. Many times Moses was frustrated. Many times Moses was upset with these people. But it was not Moses they were mad at. Moses was the visible tool that they could see, and they can crumble and curse and all that. It was God that they were mad at. And of course, Moses one time lost his temper. He was tired of these people. And God told him to speak to a rock, and he smote it. And because of that one decision, he didn't get to go to the promised land. But you can see how discouragement was brought on and how it was frustrating for Moses in his life. We see those things in our lives. They come into our lives. Elijah, he was in the same situation in that he was on top of the mountain. He was there and he called fire from God at Mount Carmel. It came down and consumed the offering, consumed the altar, and consumed all the water that was there. What a victory that he had that day. And then Jezebel pronounced that she was going to kill him. And he took off. And he ran as far and as fast as he could to get away from her. And what happened was he took his eyes off the Lord just for a moment. Just for a moment. And he found himself in a bad place. So when we come through these times of stress, here, just like the psalmist, when he is in this situation, the one before him, I don't know, this may be the same psalmist writing these verses here, but a lot of times the psalmist that actually was named in the last one they attribute it to, but here this psalmist, the first one, Psalm 120, this fellow is in distress. And Psalm 121, he says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. You see, he is a personal relationship. He uses those words, I, mine, my. And that relationship is so important because we need that relationship so we can call on the Lord anytime in any situation. Just as he said, in my distress, I called upon the Lord and he heard me. You know, it's one thing, if we're not careful, we can be calling on the Lord, but we don't have the communication lines open. And those things can happen because we allow ourselves to allow ourselves to follow the devil and have sin in our lives and reject God's plan for us. And until we're ready to be right with God, those communication lines can be cut off. And we can cry out to God and he's not listening because there's something in our lives that we need to get right with God first. And that's what he wants to hear. He wants to hear that, hey, God, please help me. I've sinned. And please forgive me for that. And when we take care of that, those communication lines are open. You don't have to dial a number. You don't have to verbally call out. You can think it in your mind and talk to God. The psalmist understood that. It's interesting here when you look at these verses because he comes and he says, I will lift up mine eye unto the hills from which cometh my help. Now, if you just read that, just like that, you would think, well, he's looking and trusting in the hills. He thinks the hills are going to bring his help. I think this is probably a question, in a sense, the last part instead of a statement, where he says, well, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, and he looks to the hills. And what does he see? He sees God's creation. God's creation. And then he asks a rhetorical question, from whence cometh my help? And we see the next verse. He answers that. And he tells us, he says, my help cometh from the Lord. And that's where our help will always come from. It'll come from the Lord. He wants to aid us in every situation that we're going through, every single difficulty that we have. He wants us to be ready to call out at any moment that we need him. He wants us to talk with him all the time and commune with him. He wants us to spend time with him, to enjoy him, and to learn from him. In Psalm 46:1, we're reminded, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. He says, therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with swelling thereof, Selah, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High God. In the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. You see, we can call out to God at any time, and the psalmist knew that. Over and over you see this. And it's all about staying focused on who to call out to. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 2 reminds us, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. I think about that verse and I think about what it means. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He is the one that is the author and finisher. When we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we are sealed into the day of redemption. We are going to be with God forever and ever and ever. But then when I see how it describes this situation, who for the joy that was set before him, I personally don't see the cross as joy. But that's the love of God. The love of God sent Jesus Christ to that cross. And it was a joy for Christ in the sense that he went, that he could redeem mankind. Not just one, not just two, but all of mankind can be redeemed through Jesus Christ. It was a joy for him in the sense that those that would put their faith and trust in him would be secure forever and ever. He says that was set before him, endured the cross. I can't even imagine enduring the cross. It's tough to endure a mass sometimes, but the cross. Whew. Despising the shame, and now he is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. My help cometh from the Lord. So we want to stay focused on Jesus Christ. God's going to see us through. In Isaiah 41:13, it says, for I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. He's there to help us. I love this, Hebrews 13:6, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Always, the Lord is my helper. That's who I can go to. That's who I can trust. And it's a walk. It's a life. It's the conversation the Bible calls this life that we live. And it's everything about the life we have. So here we see that the psalmist realizes that when he's in distress, when he is discouraged, when things aren't going his way, he can call out to God who is his help. But then we see in the rest of this passage, verses 3 through 8, it talks about the protection that God gives and provides for each one of his children. God has a watchful eye. He knows what's going on in your life, no matter where you're at, in the deepest recesses of your mind or in the deepest part of the woods or on the side of the road in a ditch. God knows you're there. He knows exactly where you are. In verse 3, he says, he will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. That word suffer means to give. He will not give thy foot. That foot could be a step, if you look at what it means. He will not give thy step to be moved. That word move means to waver. He's going to be there to help us to stand on the things that we know are right. He's going to be there to guide and direct us. He's not going to allow us to be moved off very far, because he will be there. He will continually draw us back. He'll continually to seek us that we would again follow him. It says, he that keepeth thee will not slumber. That word keepeth is the word shamar. It's used 6 times in this passage alone. It's translated as keepeth, keep, and preserve in this passage. It's talking about putting a hedge about you or guarding you. He says, he that keepeth or he that guard thee will not slumber. That word slumber there means become drowsy. He's not going to tire of watching over you. He's not like me who worked for 2 hours with a snowblower a day and ready to go in and take a nap, okay? No, he's always there, always on the watch, always alert. Of course, he doesn't know, I think, in the sense that we know, because he doesn't have time and he doesn't get tired. He's always there. He's God. Think of the energy that's there. The Almighty, the All-Powerful, God. I wonder what it's going to be like in heaven. I wonder if we're going to ever have to lay our heads down on a MyPillow. I got some of those. I messed up and didn't get to the post office early enough yesterday, because I could actually put my head on one of those and tried it out. I'm looking forward to seeing what it'll do. But nonetheless, he's saying that I'm there for you. And this is a promise that he's going to watch over the steps that we have. I remind you, we read this morning in Psalm 37, verses 23 through 24, says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. God has that plan already. He's already made the steps for our lives. And they're there. We just need to locate those steps and step in those steps. And it's like the illustration when you see someone walking, maybe a father and his son's walking behind his dad in the steps. This morning in the snow, when I went to the garage, I tried to walk in the same steps, you know, every time I went back and forth, because everything was deep and stuff to get there. But you see that idea that God is there and he's given us steps and he's shown us where they are, and we just need to walk into those steps that he's given to us. He says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He delighteth in his way. In other words, we delight in the way, and he delights in the way that we're going, because it's the way he has planned for us. But you know, we're not perfect. We're going to find those times of distress. We're going to find those difficulties in life. He says in that same passage in the next verses, though he fall, that time of distress, that time of discouragement, that time that we're maybe contemplating something that we shouldn't be doing. Though he fall, he says, he shall not utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Speaking of everlasting life. Speaking of God being with us all the time. Proverbs 2:8, he keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. He preserves that way for us. That guarding, if you will, that hedge about us, it's there. Of course, Jesus, we're reminded, told his disciples in John chapter 10, 27 through 29, says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my hand." What is neat about that, and when I realized it for the first time, is that no man includes yourself. You cannot, once you're a born-again Christian, choose to not be a Christian. You can be a rebel. You can be a Christian that is carnal. You can be a Christian that's not serving God, but you cannot change from being saved. Because once you put your faith and trust in Christ, you're sealed. That's amazing to me to think that. But God never sleeps. Look at verse 4. It says, Behold, he that keepeth Israel neither slumber nor sleep. So he's always on the alert. We've talked about that. He's always awake. Ecclesiastes 8:16. When I applied mine heart to know wisdom and to see the business that is done upon the earth, for also there is that neither day nor night seeth sleep with his eyes. He's always there. He's always available. In the middle of the night, you can call on the Lord. Anytime you're in a situation, you can call and reach out to God. He's there for you. There have been many have been in that situation. He's always there. Jacob, he was sent away by his father to go to Padan Aram. And he was supposed to get away. And so as he went, he was on his journey, and he came to a place. He actually called it Bethel after the fact. But he was there, and he was sleeping, and he got a rock for a pillow. Now I'm looking forward to my pillow, see how that's going to work. I don't think I want a rock for a pillow. Maybe when I was young I could do that. But he had a rock for a pillow, and that night he dreamed. And when he dreamed of the ladder. We call it Jacob's ladder. The angels were ascending and descending up the ladder. And God stood above. And he gave him some promises that night. He told him that God had a plan for his life. He reiterated or told him about the plan that he had given Abraham. And he said, "You are going to be of that seed. You are going to continue that." And he told him, after he told him these things, in chapter 28, verse 15, says, "And behold, I am with thee," is what he told him, "and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of." What a promise. God gives you something to do. He's going to allow you to do that. And he's going to take care of you through that. If he calls you to a specific task, a specific place, something that he wants you to do, he's going to see it through. That's what he told Jacob that night. That's what he told him. The same God that told him that will do that same thing for us. God sees and hears all the time. He was dreaming, Jacob was, and God woke him up. Remember Paul and Silas in Acts chapter 16, verses 24 and 35. They were cast in prison. Why? Because they just wanted to preach the gospel. They wanted to teach the people. And so they threw them in the prison. And God had a perfect plan for that. And here they were singing that night, and they were praising God. Again, what an attitude. What an understanding to know that God is my help. And he's there for me all the time, and I can rejoice in any situation I'm in. Boy, there's times I need to remember that in my life, that I can rejoice no matter what I'm going through. We can rejoice for the snow. We can rejoice for the flat tire. We can rejoice for the dead battery. Now, that's hard, isn't it? Especially, it always happens at the wrong time, too. But we can rejoice in those things. There's a way to do it. But nonetheless, they were there, and they were praying and singing praises to God. God heard them, and there was a great earthquake. And, of course, the bands fell off, and the doors opened up. And there was a purpose behind all that. What was the purpose? The Philippian jailer. God allowed them to be put in that position for a purpose. Now, could they see that ahead of time? Did they know that was what the plan was? They had no idea. But God is listening to them in the midst of this at midnight. He's there. And of course, we know the Philippian jailer received the Lord as his Savior and his house. God never sleeps. He's always there. He's always ready to hear your petitions. He's always ready to hear your cries. He's always on duty. In verse 5, it says, "The Lord is my keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night." Again, the idea that the Lord is our keeper, that's that same words. He is the hedge. He is the guard. He's the one that oversees us. So as we learn to trust God, we realize the difficulties we're in, the situations we're in, whatever they are, physical, financial, maybe even a spiritual situation going on in your life, the Lord is your keeper. Just talk to him. Petition him. "Lord, I'm in a situation. I don't know what the next step is. I need your help. Can you help me to discern what's going on here? Why is this going on in my life? And can you help me to understand the reasoning behind it? Can you help me, give me directions through this?" He's there to do that very thing. He gives us the divine protection. Back when Pharaoh let the people go finally after 10 challenges, and the firstborn was killed because the death angel came in, Israel took and left Egypt. They spoiled Egypt, the Bible says. Everybody gave them the gold and the treasures and the cattle, and they left. And after Pharaoh was sitting there for a while, he decided that he was going to go after him. And as they were coming toward them, the people were scared to death. I don't blame them. It comes up, they were between a Red Sea and Pharaoh. And, of course, you look at the Red Sea, and how am I going to get across that? And then you look back, and Pharaoh's coming, and he's coming to challenge us and to kill us. And, of course, God took care of them. He blinded them. They couldn't see them. He had the fire and the clouds that he guided and directed them. Pharaoh was there, and he couldn't see where the children of Israel was. And when it was time, God opened the Red Sea. He led them across the Red Sea. All of them walked on dry land. They got across to the other side, and then what happened? Pharaoh chasing hard behind them. And what did God do? He allowed the Red Sea to collapse on them, and they too were destroyed. That is God taking care of situations that we could never understand, never really in our mind, in our heart, plan those things, because God is doing it. They're miraculous things. They happen because God is doing those. When he says he's our shade, that word shade means defense. And we know God is going to take care of us in any situation. He is our defense. It speaks of the blessings of his protection. Psalm 84:11, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing he will withhold from them that walk uprightly." Again, he is looking for Christians who are going to serve him and walk with him, and he's going to bless us abundantly. And when we're not, he's going to pull us back in. He's going to chasten us with his hand. And he'd say, "Come back. Come back to me. I got a plan that's better than the one you're on right now. You're going down the wrong track. Let me share with you the right one." And he does that. He wants us to live in the light of what he's given to us. I want you to turn to Matthew for a second. Matthew chapter 6. "The Lord is my help." In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is speaking there. And he's talking to a group of people. Of course, this is all part of the Sermon on the Mount. But in 5, 6, and 7. But here he's talking about this situation of, if you will, the struggle we all have about being anxious or, you know, careful, or the sense that we worry. I don't know about you, but there are times that I worry. But I'm a Christian. I don't worry, I'm concerned. Okay? But sometimes we say those words, and we know they all mean the same thing. We all, you know, concern is, we understand that. But here, again, it reminds us, and Jesus is speaking these words, and he shares, beginning in verse 25 in Matthew chapter 6, he says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life." That, boy, that's tough. We all take thought for our life, don't we? Sure. "What you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment?" Of course, the rhetorical answer is yes. "Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature?" Well, you know, it doesn't work. I used to be 5 foot six and a half. I know I did, because when I joined the service, that's what they measured me at. So I've told everybody I'm 5 foot six. I always buy pants that are 30 length, okay? And I just recently bought some pants that are 30 length. Well, anyway, I went to the doctor for a bone density check, and she asked how tall I was. I said, "Well, I'm 5 foot six and a half." And then I kind of hinted, like, you know, I'm getting older, so you never know, people shrink. I said, "Okay, well, let's get on the scale and find out." She says, "You're 5 foot five and a half." I said, "What? I'm 5 foot six and a half." She says, "Nope, this scale says you're 5 foot five and a half." And I got these pants, and she's right. I'm 5 foot five and a half. We can't add to our stature, but we can definitely shrink it as we're getting older. But nonetheless, he says in verse 28, "And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, and they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things." And here's the really focus of this whole thing. In verse 33, he says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." He's not saying that you're not going to go buy clothes. He's not saying you're not going to go buy food. He's not saying you're not going to go buy something to drink. The point he's making is, let's seek the Lord first and his righteousness, and these things will be provided. Yes, you may have to work. We all have to work. In fact, the Bible says if you don't work, you shouldn't eat, right? We got a job to do, but our job is different than the world, is it not? We look at the works. I've started a study. I haven't really finished it yet, but it always talks about good works. What are good works, and what are works? What are considered works? And that's something that I'm looking into and trying to decipher. What is he talking about when he says works or good works? But nonetheless, God has a plan for each one of us, and the most important thing is that we look to him first. Verse 34, he concludes and says, "Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." We got enough to think about today without having to think about tomorrow's troubles. Let's deal with where we're at, and let's seek the Lord and trust him in this. Go back to Psalm 121, and we're going to wrap this up here. In verses 7 and 8, we see again he uses the same word, shamar. He uses it three times here, and it's translated as preserve. He says in verse 7, "The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore." And that word preserve again means to hedge about or to guard. Generally, it means to protect. And so here it says, "The Lord shall protect thee from all evil." There's going to be evil, but God can protect us through that evil. He can help us in that situation. But what do we have to do? We got a part in this. And part of that, or our part in that, is to stay focused on him. We have a great illustration with Peter and the boat and Jesus walking in the midst of the raging sea that night when Jesus told them to go to the other side and he would come later. And he was out there and they said, "Is it a spirit?" And then I think it was Peter says, "If it's you, Lord, bid me to come." And he jumped out of that boat. He didn't run, but he started walking. And he actually walked. And then all of a sudden, he got distracted, like we all do. It's easy to be distracted. You got children, you're going to get distracted, right? Everybody gets distracted in some way. But he got distracted because of the waves and the wind, and he took his eyes off the Lord. Here he was, looking at the Lord and going right to him, walking on the water. And then he saw all this stuff, and all of a sudden, he couldn't stand on the water any longer. He started sinking. And just like Peter, my help cometh from the Lord. Peter said, help! And the Lord took him by his hand, picked him up, and put him back in that boat. And that's what God will do for us. We may not be walking on water, but there are other things that God wants to do in our lives. He wants to be the provider. He wants to be the protector. He wants to guide and direct in our lives. He wants us to follow those steps that are laid out. But we have to search it out to find out what the steps are, because they're not illuminated right now. They're not just bright little steps that we can follow and go and say, oh, there's the next one. There's the next one. No, to find them, the illumination comes right here from this. This is how you find out what that step is, that next step. This is how you find out where you're supposed to go and what you're supposed to do and how you're supposed to live and what God's plan is for you in your life. Here are the steps. Now, you'll not go in there and find out that Hezekiah chapter 1 tells you to do this. First off, there's no Hezekiah. But second, that's not the way it works. It's to study to show thyself approved. You have to get in and dig it out. And what helps you and what guides you through this, most importantly, is the Spirit of God. That Spirit that resides in the believer. That when you read the Word of God, your spirit bears witness with His Spirit. And then it will help us. It'll drive us and teach us what it is He wants us to do. We know what the greatest commandment is. We know what the second commandment is. Those are very important, because that's the beginning. And if we can put God first, love Him with all our heart, with our mind and soul, then the rest of it gets easy. My struggle is I don't love Him sometimes as much as I love myself. I choose myself over Him. And that's where I miss the step. That's where I slip and fall. That's where I need Him to pick me up and put me back on that step or show me that step. And He wants to do that. In Romans 8:28, Paul penned these words, and they're true, when he said, and we know all things work together for good to them that love God. You know what that word is in the Bible? In the Greek, it's agape. You know what agape love is? For God so loved the world. That's what agape love is. And that is tough. And nobody can do that apart from God. It's only through God that we can have that love, that we love each other and we love the Lord, that we're going to look to Him and discern what He wants us to do and follow Him. So it says, and we know all things work together for good to them that love God. And if you love God, okay, which is what happens when you put your faith and trust in Christ, that starts to develop. Why? Because we love Him because He first loved us. And so that love begins to develop in us, and then we are called according to His purpose, Romans 8:28 says. So the purpose that we're here on the face of this earth is for God's purpose and not ours. And that's where I and others make so many mistakes. Paul, when he was closing the letter in 2 Timothy, he said this in wrote this in 2 Timothy 4:16 through 18. He says, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it might not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, and by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto His heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. He's saying God protected him. Even though nobody else would stand with him, God stood with him. And that is the most important thing we can learn, is that we want to stand where God is and have Him stand where we are. Because it doesn't matter what everybody else and where everybody else is standing. The most important thing is our stand with God. And we know that God will keep us. Peter told us that in 1 Peter. He says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So we have the opportunity. God has given us something special. And we can go to Him. We can call on Him. He's there for us. He's ready to hear. And He wants us to know that He is my help. And yes, He uses people. This morning I mentioned the tree thing. Rob said, I'll be there in a minute. I mentioned to Adam, says, I'll be there. And I sent it out a text, and Josh says, hey, I'll be coming over there for that tree. They came over and got that tree. So anyway, that's amazing. God is working in people. He uses people to help us, each one of us. And we too want to be helping God and doing what His plan is. It's great that we got the tree. Now we want to go get somebody else. Let's go drag some people in here with the Word of God that they might put their faith and trust in Jesus and know Him. Most important thing. The question that we have as we close is, where does your help come from? Is God the first one you call to? Is He the first one you think of when you have a situation or a problem? You see, the very first one, or is it somebody else? We want the help that God can provide. And He can give us protection. He can give us guidance. He can put the right people in the right place. And as the trials come and the storms blow, like we just had one today, and we've seen a lot of help, by the way, and I thank all of you that have done so much, there are going to be tough times ahead. But let's look to God. Let's keep looking to Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. He's going to give us what we need, and He's going to guide us through this. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon Him. Why? He careth for you. God loves you with an everlasting love, and He wants us to reciprocate that love as best we can as human beings with the Spirit of God that lives in us. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for the psalmist. We thank You that You are our help and that we can trust You in all matters. We don't always understand everything, Father, but we know that You do. It would be more important that we would study and have You reveal Yourself through the Word of God and us to follow that and obey it than really understand all about it. Father, I pray that You would just continue to guide and direct in each one of our lives. Help us to look to You first. And trust You in everything. We'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen.